All right, you guys are fast. Ready to go. Mm-mm-mm. Welcome to. I'm glad you all were able to figure it out. All right. So for now, so the remainder of the time here is all about workshopping your big why. As you can see, we want to get something that's really emotionally compelling to people, right? Something that's powerful, emotionally, like hits people in the gut. Something that's big and meaningful in people's lives, that's much broader than the actual thing that you do, right? It's much broader than the what you happen to be doing for your work for your clients. It's a much bigger mission that speaks to us emotionally. Like if you think of WeWork, for example, it's like WeWork is like, you know, office space, right? Like it's Regis. It's like, you know, you rent office space somewhere. It's like, it's not inherently particularly sexy, but they made it about like, do what you love and like empowering people to like community and live together and like the we and all of those things, right? It's like, it's just damn office space, right? But they sold the dream of the vision of how it's like all about the we. It's a much bigger purpose. That's what we're looking for here. Like Apple is a good example too, right? They're all about thinking differently and challenging the status quo and all of that. They happen to make computers and watches and phones and whatnot, but what they're about is think different, right? You've all seen their square pegs in the round holes kind of video, right? Let me see here. Let me just pull that up if I can. Yeah, this one here. Like it just exemplifies this so well. So here we go.
Here's to the crazy ones, the misfits, the rebels, the troublemakers, the round pegs in the square holes, the ones who see things differently. They're not fond of rules, and they have no respect for the status quo. You can quote them, disagree with them, glorify or vilify them. About the only thing you can't do is ignore them, because they change things. They push the human race forward. While some may see them as the crazy ones, we see genius. Because the people who are crazy enough to think they can change the world are the ones who do.
Right. This is what we're after. Like, it's not about the thing. It's about what do we believe in that's compelling, right? Like, the people who are crazy enough to change the world are the ones who actually do. Like, they make computers, right? It's great, but like, what do we believe in that's way bigger than that? What is our mission, our purpose, that's way bigger than just making whatever you do, or selling whatever you do? Raise your hand if you want to workshop your thing. I'll take some more. Raise your hand again. Just go to the reactions tab down in Zoom. Raise your hand if you want to ask any questions on this stuff, anything we've covered today. All right, Atle.
Yes, hello. Hello, Calvin. And hello, everybody. My why is, at least I think it's that your personality is the boss in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And most people don't know their personality. They know mm-hmm. they know their behaviors, but they don't know their personality.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the That's the big picture, that your personality is the boss of your life or in your life. Mm-hmm. And then I work with leadership development, so I try to make the leaders be aware, make them aware of their personality and how that affects the quality of their leadership role.
Mm-hmm.
So the big picture, as you were asking for, is that personality is the boss of your life or in your life.
Mm-hmm. And so if the personality is the boss in your life and you don't know your personality, what's the consequence of that? What's the pain? Yeah. What does that cost us?
Yeah, it really negatively affects your communication. When you get annoyed, you get irritated, you get sad, or get into discussions, quarrels, all of that has a root cause in your personality. So people don't want to. Of course, nobody wants to have a big quarrel with your colleagues or in the family. But you need to know your personality to make sure that you don't do that.
Right. So let's take that and make it even bigger, right? So because what you're saying, well, it negatively affects the communication. Maybe you get sad or you but that sounds like a nuisance. It doesn't sound that bad. Like, so if you're not able to communicate effectively, what does that cost you? What does it cost your family, your colleagues, your company, and what does it cost the world at large if you communicate poorly?
Yeah. There is researches that tells us that leadership development has minor effect if you don't include your personality in the development of your personality, of your leadership role.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that is one thing that tells the importance of this. And the other thing we can directly link personality to motivation, because our motivation is funded into our personality, not in our IQ, not in the brain.
Mm-hmm.
So we can say that if you don't know your personality, you don't know how to work with motivation either.
Mm-hmm. And what I'm looking for is if a leader is not effective at leading, what does that cost them? What does it cost others around them? What does it cost the world?
Yes, it's quite easy to link it to profit, to how it affects the business results, if that's what you're thinking. If I can do that, but then again, it's just numbers. But of course, it has a huge effect on the quality of, the leader can influence the personnel, the employees a lot. So if the leader don't know how his personality is affecting his way of leading, he can affect the motivation and the productivity of his employees with maybe 10, 20, 30%.
Right. And so if a leader shows up poorly, and then that causes him to, cause harm, upset like some team member, and then they go home to their families and then they take it out on their wives or their kids. And now like this whole just spirals into this like negative spiral of like pain and suffering that is completely unnecessary. And this leader is in this role because they're like, all leaders do is affect change, right? We want to make something happen that wouldn't happen without it. And by not being good leaders, we're not affecting the change that we're here to affect. We'll affect some other change or no change. And so it's like, it's the positive and the negative we can speak to, right? So it's like, when you are able to show up as the leader that you're here to be, then your work has meaning. You can actually affect the change that you seek to affect. You can actually, every leader is a leader, probably because like yes, it's a job and we want to make money and all those things, right? But there's something, it's like, it's the question of like, why do we get up in the morning, right? Like, why does this leader get up in the morning? Well, probably mm-hmm. because they believe in the change they're here to make. But when they're not showing up, well, they won't make that change. And they'll also cause harm to everybody around them.
Yeah, and also this is why I do this is because I was a vice president in IBM a mm-hmm. long time ago, mm-hmm. and I was a poor leader. I didn't know that I was stubborn, that I didn't like conflicts, that I was a bad team player. All of this due to my personality, and the business mm-hmm. didn't run that well. So I decided to step down and find out what is this all about. Mm-hmm. So then I got to know my own personality, and today I'm also a leader in another organization, and I get really good feedback. And it's the same Atle, it's the same me.
Right.
In IBM, I didn't know my personality. Today right. I do, and it's a huge difference between those two.
Great, that's awesome. Yeah, that's what we want to tap into, right? So what was the pain that you experienced when you were the old version at IBM, right? And what is the pleasure? What is the success? What is the results that you're getting now? So from an emotional level, how does it feel to be you? How does it feel to be your employee or your report, the people that you're leading? How does it feel to be your family then versus now? Because that's why you do it. And if you talk about that, like why this matters to you, then people are going to resonate with that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So. Okay, let's give somebody else some attention as well. Thank you, Carmen.
All right, you bet. My pleasure. Thank you, Atle. All right, Wouter.
Hi.
Hey.
Can you hear me?
Absolutely.
Okay, great. Well, I was keen to raise my hand because I'm working in the same field as Atle. So, Atle, nice to meet you. Looking forward to learn from your experiences. I'm also in the field of leadership development, so there's a lot of similarity there. And what really helps me today, Calvin, is that focus on the good versus evil, or, you know, mm-hmm. what if you're the crazy one, you know, the video you showed, but just such a good reminder. Mm-hmm. I haven't really articulated that yet. I have the why, the beliefs. I can share that in the chat in a moment. But the what happens if you don't invest in yourself as a leader, mm-hmm. That I haven't really gotten clearly. And I think if I learn to do that this week, that will help me make a more compelling offer and get people better on board. So that's what I'm looking at.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, and it's really like... The simple answer is to like go back to yourself and just be honest with yourself emotionally. Why do I care? Like, why do I do this? Right? Why is this something that I want? I want to get up every morning to do this. Why? What's actually driving me? And then talk about that. It's guaranteed to resonate with people.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Great. So what else do we have of questions? Raise your hand, be generous to others. Just raise your hand and ask a question. Yes, Ingrid, go for it.
Yeah. Sorry about taking up time again.
You're not. So here's the thing. Let me just put a nail in that really quickly. It's a huge service to everybody else here when you dare raise your hand and get on here live and ask a question. And don't worry about like taking up too much time. Like that's a programming that a lot of us had. Like okay. I have that too of like, oh, I shouldn't like take up too much space. And like my parent would be like, feel like I was annoying. I was just a little kid and like all those things, right? This is not it. Like we're grownups here and you asking a question that allows me to give an answer that's probably going to be relevant to most of the people here and all the people who are not here, but are going to watch the replay. You're just doing a huge service to everybody else when you do that. So
thank you. Yes. The question is, I have two offers. One is that I'm helping entrepreneurs to get clear about their message by drawing it in a session, one-to-one, or a team or something like that, when I'm drawing. And the other thing is that I have Simplero courses where I teach people to draw, entrepreneurs. And the enemy, of course, is different for both. One are the people who are just entrepreneurs who want to get clear about their message, who are also visual thinkers, but have no intention or time to learn to draw. And the others in my membership, they have an urge to express themselves creatively. And for them, the enemy is, of course, society that put art on a pedestal and make it inaccessible. And for the others, it's what is the enemy for the others? That, clarity, or that drawing is not for business. That's maybe the overarching thing. So
here's a thought, which is, when I grew up in Denmark, moved to the US when I was about 25, right? And that learning, once I moved here, or a while after, a switch happened where I started to internally think in English and dream in English. And I noticed that I could access different parts of myself through English versus Danish. Right? It's like, it's different personalities that I can choose to lean into one or the other, depending on which way I go, what language I use. And I feel like drawing is the same way, right? When you draw, you draw on a different intelligence. You access a different part of yourself. You access a different way of thinking, a different way of being. And so maybe the good versus evil mission is you're helping people who are trapped by words, by word thinking, escape the prison of word thinking and open up a new intelligence.
Escape the prison of word thinking. I have to write that down. That is great.
Yeah. Right.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah. My pleasure. My pleasure. But that's the line of thinking that we want to get into here, right? It's like, what are we freeing people from that they're not even aware of that they're stuck in? Yes. Someone is David is saying, how do I find, can someone tell David how to find the reactions, the raise your hand button? It should be at the bottom of your Zoom window. There's a bunch of little buttons and links that say mute, video, security, share screen, reactions. One of them says reactions. There should be a raise your hand thing. All right. Jim, what you got?
Yeah, thanks, Calvin. So I have a question and for context. My business is helping foreign companies enter and succeed in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And based on your direction here, the big why is bringing knowledge that we don't have in the U.S., bringing knowledge and benefit to the U.S. That could change our life, change the lives of Americans.
Mm-hmm.
And also, it makes their own company more successful, whatever country they're in, which then impacts their employees' lives, which impacts the economy and the whole success of their staff and their neighbors and the country as a whole, because their company flourishes and hires more people and so forth. So I don't know if that resonates exactly, but my question is along those lines. When you promote your business, is that what you're promoting? I mean, that's that core concept of say, this is why I'm here and this is why, you joined and this is what we're going to do together.
It's a huge part of it. Yeah, absolutely. People want to be part of that journey, of that mission, right? They want to be along for the ride of you helping right some wrong in the world. Absolutely. It's not the only thing that we say, but like literally just, I think the Digital Marketer did this a while back. Digital Marketer, we believe. See if it's still there. Yeah, they did a a video like this. Show screen.
I'm Dice, the CEO of Digital Marketer, and we want you to know exactly what the Digital Marketer team believes. We believe the best product should win, not the best marketer.
We believe that we shouldn't teach something until we do it first.
We believe the biggest marketing sin.
I'm not going to play the whole thing, but it's literally just like them going through like, we believe this. Like, that's a good, it's probably not the top of funnel, the first thing that people see, but once they're in your universe a little bit, it's a very, very good thing to put in front of them that really connects with people. Because then like people buy from people who believe what they believe, right? That it becomes that beacon call. It's also going to, you know, repel a bunch of people who don't agree with that, right? There's going to be people who are like, yeah, no, I believe something completely different. I don't want to do business with you. That's great. There's 8 billion people in the world. We don't need to do business with everybody. We don't want to do business with everybody. We want to do business with people that we enjoy working with. And this is a really good way. Like, we don't want people, what we want to do is we want to polarize people so that there are people who love us and there are people who would rather like have nothing to do with us. Maybe they even hate us, right? That's good. That's good. There's going to be plenty of people for you. And if you get people to really love you because you stand for something and you do it clearly, they're going to love you so much more. And those are your people.
Got it.
Yeah.
And you articulate that in your promotion and in your lead magnets and your
yeah. sales. So practically the way you would do it is, I honestly don't know if it would work. It might work. So we talk about top of funnel, middle of funnel, bottom of funnel, right? So top of funnel is like the first time people hear about you. So that would be you running an ad, or it would be, so the ad is the top of funnel, right? Unless you run that ad as a retargeting to people who already engage with you, in which case it's a middle of funnel or maybe a bottom of funnel. So top of funnel is the first time people hear about us. Middle of funnel is that process of going from the first contact to like education, to like what they need to know to become a customer. Bottom of funnel is where we say, okay, now go buy this thing. Right. So top is the first contact. Bottom is like, go buy the thing. And then middle is where we kind of massage people or educate them to become customers. So I could definitely see this being a very effective middle of funnel. It's also very, very effective. The moment they buy from you, we basically want to do a quote unquote indoctrination sequence. I know that's kind of a sinister, hello balloons. keeps happening. It's kind of a sinister term, but what it really means is that we're sharing our beliefs with them, right? This is what we believe here. This is what someone who we see is successful with our company, our products and services, this is what they believe. And so we're asking people to believe the same things. Like, so you can absolutely use it there as well as part of them getting to know you once they're a client, because that's going to make it so much easier for you to work with them. Yeah.
Love it.
And then just in your content machine. So going back to the illustration here, the value ladder. So the content machine, this is where we post content to social media. That's where you want to talk about this stuff as well all the time, right? So like, not the only thing that you talk about, but it's one of the recurring things is like, this is what we believe in. This is what we believe in. And so, and when you bring people in through a challenge, for example, then it becomes part of the content in the challenge of like what you believe in. So that you, when you have that conversation with people over several days or the webinar, you talk about it there as well. And then, like I said, as part of the core offer, there's probably going to be some kind of onboarding email sequence that they get for the first week or 2 weeks or whatever. You talk about it here. Then when you do a live event to get people into the high ticket, you talk about it again, right? So because, you know, you need to keep selling people and reselling people. So this is a recurring thing that you talk about throughout the whole thing. Yes.
Yeah, really good.
All right.
Really, very helpful. Thank you.
Great. Appreciate the question. See all the magic that happens when you dare be generous and ask a good question, or just any question, honestly. All right. Thank you so much. Suzanne.
Hello.
Hey.
Hi. Sometimes it's, I like when you talked about when you start thinking and dreaming in English. Mm. I'm totally not there yet. Still living in Sweden, and we are three people in our company, and and I'm the tech girl, and we have a girl who's taking care of the language on our site, and that's not me. But I will try to do this in English. We've been talking about our vision and what we are, our big goal. And we want to make a big difference for people's health all over the world. We are very passionate about helping others to heal, and we sort of want to give the humanity back her natural state of health, and also the earth itself. And a big motivation for us is to give the earth back to the children, also the next generation. We sort of like all people to know the big vast source of healing beneath their feet, and the importance of our the human's natural balance with earth. And we are convinced that our body are I don't know how to say it, but has an incredible ability to heal if we give it the right tools. So, and one of the cornerstones is in our belief is that making skin contact with earth, and that let us get in contact and balance with the earth. So the big wow here is LOI here is to bring health to all the people without pills, without I mean, we love the doctors, they are very good, but we are convinced that there are too many synthetic stuff going on.
This is fantastic. Okay, this is great. Everything you started by saying, these are all like your belief systems, right? Your belief statements, like, you know, the body has the ability to heal if we give it the right tools, and, you know, having daily skin to skin contact with the earth is crucial for health and things of that nature. Those could all be like, we believe blah, 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 right? We believe blank statements that you can use. That's fantastic. When you say your big why, bring health to all people, why? All right. So a classic method is, have you guys heard of the five whys, right? It's like, you know, what do you want? Okay, great. This thing, like, why? All right. And then you give a reason. And then you're like, okay, why? Then you give another reason. You give why again. You keep asking why five times until you arrive at something that's like, oof, that hit you in the gut, right? So that's kind of what we're doing here. Like, bring health to all people. Great. Why?
Sorry, I have to take a note.
Yes.
Why? People deserve that.
Why?
All humans deserve to feel, to wake up and feel not stressful, to feel, what do you say, in balance, harmony, to feel harmony. Everyone deserves that.
Yeah, and why?
Because when you feel harmony, you are going to have a very good day, and then you're going to be a better person.
Why does that matter?
Because if you are a better person, you're going to be nice to yourself and to others.
And why does that matter?
If you do that, we are going to go in balance with Earth and with other people.
And why is that important?
If we have this balance among us humans and the earth, we are going to have a happier life.
And why is that important?
Because then we will take more care of Earth and human race will will live.
Survive, yes. And I could keep going, right? Why does that matter? Why is that important? Let me ask you this instead. Why do you care?
I want to be a happy person.
You want to be a happy person. It seems like a very roundabout way to go about that.
Yeah. And I like to, I don't know how to express that in English, but I like to, to share that feeling with all the other people, with people all over the world, because it's a very fun fact and it's sort of a driven thing. When you take skin contact with Earth, you said that you sat on an earthing mat, right?
Sleep, yeah.
Okay, but at last time you had this, your earthing mat. I also are connected to Earth right now. That means that you and I are sharing electrons.
Mm-hmm.
And we are in connection.
Mm-hmm.
And when you think about that, when you go out and barefoot, or you take your hand on a stone or whatever, you have this direct skin contact. You are in connection with people all around the world. Mm. When you are in connection, you can be nice, you can feel it, and that makes you and them to feel good.
Mm. All right, so now we're getting at something, right? That feeling of connection at both an emotional level and like a physical atomic, subatomic level, clearly is something that has, you know, that is important to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Meaningful to you. That's, talk about that. Yeah. Connection.
Yeah. The connection is so cool.
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. Fantastic. Thank you so much, Suzanne.
Thank you.
Yeah. Appreciate it. All right. Carol Ann.
Hey, everyone. Yeah, I kind of forgot what my real question was, but it does have to do with good versus evil.
Uh-huh.
So a little bit of backstory. I am rebranding. And so I'm trying to get, you know, even narrower in my lane. Mm-hmm. And I am a business strategist. So I started out as a brand strategist. So I do like pretty much everything around business. So I'm trying not to. So I'm focusing on messaging, offer creation, high-end offers. So when it comes to good versus evil, so this is what happened. So in 2022, I launched a program called High-End Messaging. And it's like a 30-day program, quick win. I think I offered it at $2,000. I thought that was going to be my forever offer. Because I launched it via a few emails, I filled it, and then I filled it again. And that was September and November. And then I mapped out my 2023. I put it on my schedule twice, March and May. Did the launch, same messaging, and I got crickets. I mean, I got zero interest, zero paid clients. So I, you know, reflected what changed. Well, you know, I was dialing in my messaging even more. I added people to my list in that period. So I did have new people. And the only thing that I could think of that really changed, not to mention that 2023 was just a weird year, and you know, people are finally admitting that it's slow, but the big thing is that I came up with is AI.
Mm-hmm.
So could that be the evil? Could that be the common enemy against people who are teaching authentic messaging? And the other thing I saw, because you know, my RAS is really aware of this, is, you know, a lot of leaders, thought leaders, gurus, whatever you want to call them, were changing their message, because I know what they taught forever, and now they're changing it to talk about, to make it sound like communication, when it's really this other thing that they're known for that they're not talking about. They're not calling it that anymore. Could that be a common enemy? Because I'm really not sure about, you know, what is the evil here? What is the common enemy that I'm working against?
Well, I think the short answer is no. So you're saying you're a business strategist, brand strategist, focused on messaging, offer creation, high-end offers.
Yeah, I don't call myself a brand strategist anymore. I got started, you know, in 2012 online.
So you're a messaging strategist?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So now I call myself a messaging and high-end offer specialist.
Okay. Good. So when it comes to messaging and high-end offers, what is the mistake that you see people make? The most common one?
Well, messaging, they sound like everybody else. They're not really claiming their value, and they're not really going deep. And I call it the transformation beneath the transformation. So they're not really going there. And I, you know, my gift is articulating the invisible. Mm-hmm. That's what I say. So they really can't find the words to express the real magic that occurs. Cause I work with transformational leaders mostly.
Mm-hmm. Got it. I think that's the evil, good versus evil mission there is, you know, people is like the same, right? It's people talking surface, cliche, same as everybody else, messaging. That's the evil. And that's what you're fighting. You want people to speak in their authentic voice, that you want people to speak about the real deep transformation and create offers and messaging that is unique to them and compelling and different. Something like that?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think it doesn't need to be super complicated. It's just like, what is the wrong in the world that you want to write, right? Like you see all these people doing messaging and it's just like, it's bland, it's boring, it doesn't work, it doesn't do anything for anybody. Like that's the evil.
Yeah. And it does go back to the branding work, because the thing that I saw there is that too, people were afraid to claim their real brilliance and put it out there in the world. Mm-hmm. And so now the messaging is the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the evil, right? People who are afraid of claiming their true brilliance.
Okay. All right. Great. Yeah. Thank you.
All right. My pleasure.
Helpful.
Thank you. All right, David, you found the reactions tab and the raise your hand button.
Hello. Yes. Hello, Kelvin and everyone. Thank you. I joined only for the five last minutes of the first call because I got the timing, the time zone wrong.
Got it.
So, I don't want, I mean, I don't know if I would pose the right question, but I would like to ask if I'm here on the right place, because to tell you very briefly, I'm a coach, life and business coach, but also when the lockdown started 3.5 years ago, I realized that the lack of connection, and I was so much relating to what Suzanne was saying, the lack of connection between us and with the elements of the nature will be to the detriment of mental health for more people than COVID itself. And I started immediately in that time when everything was locked down, I started to massage people getting inspired by the Hawaiian philosophy, Aloha spirit and Lomi Lomi techniques, it became my new mission in life. And my new mission in life is to help, to be part of the change in the massage industry where not just the body, but the soul is massaged as well. So I approach the body as a whole system, and I and the healing is happening on a different level than just massaging. Mm-hmm. I mean, just helping to relieve the symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
It's massaging the root cause. Going the root cause is addressed. So my question is, because now I want to spread this message literally in the world, and I've had some successes. Like I won a Swiss massage championship in a wellness category, and now I'm going to I will go to the world championship next year to raise the awareness of what I'm doing, not to win to become a champion, but well, to become my inner champion, but also to spread the message and teach, start teaching. I've been a teacher and coach and teacher for 30 years. And I want to teach also the whole world, actually, because I realize how many therapists have 40 years of experience, but they come and touch the body when they are in low vibration, and that goes into the body. So I teach how to raise your vibration before you start the massage.
This is amazing, David. Great stuff. Great work. Yeah.
Thank you.
That's the question.
So the question is, am I in the right place where with Simplero and with the support that you're offering, I want to create my new, I have my website for both, for coaching and, but it's someone else taking care of it, and it just disappeared. Then I want to hire, I wanted right now to hire someone who, a young lady who would do the social media for me. Because mm-hmm. I'm unfocused because it's so much going on, and that what appealed to me when you were talking about that actually you can have everything in one place, so and do it on your own mm-hmm. because no one else understands you better than yourself, and yeah. I'm also starting to using AI as someone else was talking about AI. ChatGPT, etc., which I was always against. I always thought that this is.
So I think the short answer, David, just to in the interest of time here and everybody else. So it sounds like what you're doing is amazing. And yes, you're in the right place. Like this intensive is going to help you really get clear on your offer and how to bring the stuff out to more people on a big scale and at a big level. And the software, the platform is the perfect place for you to run this stuff. And there's this week here and all the support that you have around this. And we also have our concierge service and other options to help you like take some of that load off of you. And so, yeah, the short answer is yes, you're in the right place.
Thank you.
Yes. And Silas is messaging you here right now in the chat as well. And you can get to connect with the team. Oh yeah. He sent you the link there. So yes. And great work that you're doing. I appreciate it. Thanks, David. And I'll see you in the coming days as well. All right, Matt, what you got?
Hi, Calvin.
Hey.
And everybody else. I am thinking about perhaps the evil mission or the why, something mm-hmm. in that area. Mm-hmm. Because, we go for the evil mission. And many people are stuck
evil
in
mission.
Work.
No, the good, yeah. The good versus the evil mission, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, we're on the side of good.
That's a good point. Many people are stuck in work and career, and that means they are sacrificing their family and missing perhaps their kids growing up, and perhaps suffer from anxiety of prioritizing work and career, like meetings, working overtime, working late, business travels, conferences, all that stuff, mm-hmm. too much at the cost of them missing their real life, or mm-hmm. feeling like letting it pass them by. like all the small moments that really matter in life. Something in that area.
Yeah. So the question is, if you were to summarize it, what is the evil here, right?
And by evil, do you mean like the negative emotions related to the problem, or?
No, it's like another way to say it is, what is the wrong in the world that we want to right? What is wrong that we want to fix?
The wrong is
in the world.
Is that the society is, focusing on people working and making a career. Like it's a chief aim for many people, but the results in the society and in the world is that too many people are working too much and spending too much time, wasting it on their career.
It sounds like to me what comes to mind is like kind of sleepwalking through life, right? Living life on autopilot. Not being in control, not consciously choosing. Like if you want to prioritize your work and your career over your family, you can do that. But is that a conscious choice you made, or was it kind of something you just kind of got sucked into because I don't know, this is how it always was, right?
Yeah. My feeling is that many people are doing it even though it hurts them inside or at their innermost, something like that. And they see the consequences for their families. I mean, the missed development talk at school with the son, or the concert with the 5-year-old daughter or something like that. So it hurts
Chances are there's another reason why, right? That like society and we're brought up, like it's like, oh, you get to school so you can graduate, and then you can go to high school, and then you can graduate, then you can go to college, then you can graduate, then you get a job, and then everyone eventually you can retire, and then you don't have the health and your kids are grown and you're like whatever, like life just went, right? So that's part of it. But I think another part is like one of the things that I've been thinking about a lot lately and talking to other entrepreneurs about and doing content about is this, like that when we fall in love with someone else, with our partner, there's two aspects. There's they're representing a redeeming part. They're representing an aspect of us that we have disowned. And then we feel like we can get it through the partner, and then we feel whole and complete. But there's also, and not realizing that this is, it's part of who we are and we have it. We're just kind of loaning access from the partner. We don't need the partner. We need to own it in ourselves. But the second piece is that the partner is also representing the perpetrator, the person that inflicted pain on us, the wound that actually caused us to disown part of ourselves and to split. And so what happens in relationship often is that that the redeeming aspect kind of loses its power over time a little bit. And then the violating aspect becomes the forefront, right? So we go from being madly in love to like, just feel like we're nagging and criticizing and blaming and like, you know, butting heads all the time. And in that situation too, if you're like the man and you're focused on the career and all that stuff, and your wife at home is always nagging, you know, that might play an aspect, a part too, right? So it's like, and that's part of that, like being asleep at the wheel thing too. It's like, no, I need to be the leader at home, not just at work, right? That's where the real leadership growth lies. That's where the real challenge for you as a leader, as a man, lies. So that might be part of it as well. Like the evil mission is like, you know, kind of like at the cop out of leading at work instead of leading at home and at work, which is what you're meant to do.
It's like an escape.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's also part of it.
Yeah. Yeah. So play with those aspects and see what you come up with. And we just want something simple and short, but something that hits the right people in the gut. All right.
Yeah.
And then when you combine it all, so it's the good versus evil mission and the belief statements and just the reason for existing, you put all that stuff together, boom, that's powerful.
Yeah, because I mean, the good mission is that we want as many people as possible to, I mean, to have a balanced life between work, career, and family, and to feel that they are not missing out too much on any part of it, I guess.
Right. And even try this on for you. Don't like, this has to be your thing, right? But what I'm resonating with too is for me, it's not balance, because balance makes it sound like, oh, like these things are in conflict, which at some level they are, but at a higher level, when you go up a level and you see that it's really about you stepping into your purpose and your leadership, then all of the elements are just part of the orchestra that you're, or the score or whatever, like you're the leader of all of it. And all of the elements need to be there, just like work and family and health and exercise. And all these things are elements that I need to master, just like, you know, running a company. I can't let, you know, product or marketing or sales or customer success, like run the show. I have to be the leader that makes sure that all of that, not just is balanced, but it works together in a symphony and harmony. That's the goal. So it's about unlock of a level of being, of a level of leadership in life.
It's funny you comment on the word balance, because I've also been thinking about that. Maybe variation is a better thing to be striving for.
Yeah,
as you say, when you attend to all the different areas in your life.
To me, it's all about them all supporting each other rather than fighting for each other, and me kind of having to go like, oh, I need to spend 1 hour with one kid and an hour with the next kid and then an hour with the next kid and like balance it all, blah, blah, blah. No, it's about working together as a family, right? Where all the parts are important. All the parts play a role, and they all are supporting each other ultimately. In a higher purpose, a higher mission. Yeah. That's how I look at it. Anyway, I'm not going to dictate how you look at it.
I like that.
Yeah.
Thanks.
All right. Fantastic. Guys, this has been so much fun. Atle, yes, go for it. Go for it. You're still muted. Let me see here. There we go. Did that work? Okay. Yeah, there we go. Yes.
Back to the why. Two questions. How long can the why be? I mean, how long can the why be? And do I use my why in my marketing? Or is it just something internally for me?
No, So you 100% use it in your marketing. If you go back to the recording, I was actually talking to Jim about that at the very beginning, right? Like you can use it middle of funnel. You can use it once people become clients as part of your onboarding. So you 100% you use it. You use it in recruiting when you are hiring people, right? You use it on your team ongoing to inspire and motivate your team. So it's pervasive. It's everywhere. 100%. And then in terms of how long, like as short as you can make it, but you can always make it so that people can expand on it, right? Like back in the day, they used to teach writing newspaper articles so that the most important thing is first, and then you expand. And so the editor can just cut from the bottom and like whatever, however much space they have at that day in the paper. So it's similar, right? So you want to have it really short and succinct, and then you can expand on it with more detail.
Yeah. Can I just, I've made a small, I'll try to make one small why. Can you just say if I'm on the track or not?
100%.
So, your personality is the boss of your life. Mm-hmm. Through your personality, you get quality in your leadership role. Research shows it. I have experienced it. And I think you also know it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's good. I think it's very good. I love that you're talking about your experience. You're appealing to people's own experience. I think that's really solid. There's going to be like, the research is interesting. Like some people are governed by emotion. Some people are governed more by logic. Some people are governed more by fear. Right. So with the, you're clearly someone who likes to look to research and studies and facts and numbers and details, which is great. And I'm not, I'm not motive driven in that way. So I'm going to be like, and it's good to be able to talk to different kinds of personalities. So I think that's cool to have. I think again, everybody ultimately is emotional beings. So we're looking for that thing that hits them emotionally. So what I would do with what you have to strengthen it is to make it more specific. It's a little abstract too. And the more concrete we can make it, the more it's going to hit us emotionally.
Okay. But for me also, research is not important, but I do know that some people are concerned about research. So I could take that away if it was up to me.
Okay, good. Well, that's good to know. Yeah, I just assume it was because you brought it up both before and now. So yeah. All right. Okay. Yeah, I don't think we need research here because we're just trying to hit people in the gut.
Yeah, Felix.
Yeah, exactly.
Perfect. Thanks.
Excellent. All right. Thank you guys. Last call for questions, going once, going twice, going thrice. All right. No more questions for today. All right. Super fun. Really appreciate you all for showing up and doing this and all your questions, all of your whys. I love how this community is filled with people who are passionate about what you all do, right? You're here because you really care. You really give a damn. You want to help and serve other people and make them feel better, connect them with themselves, right? With the earth, with each other and make them just be better people and have better lives. So love that about you guys and love working with you and love being with you. I'm looking forward so much to being with you again tomorrow. We'll have another two calls tomorrow. The regular call for the plebs and then the VIPs, the awesomest people that are you guys. So I'll see you guys again tomorrow. The replays of both sessions should be up in a couple hours. You will have notes and links to the Figma files, the FigJam files, the things that I shared, and everything should be out there. And And if you haven't caught the replay from yesterday, I highly encourage you that you grab that one or you watch that one as well. It's in the members area and you can watch it. You can take it with you on your iPhone or your Android phone or your tablet or whatnot on the Simplero app. And you can play it on 1.5x speed if you want, or 2x speed or 3x speed if you want, if you can pick up that fast. So I think that's it. There will be a session later today to help you with the custom domain setup. I think that's it. I'll see you all tomorrow. Thank you so much for being here. All right. Bye.